Hello again, you're listening to the News at One. Before we go any further, I'd like to take a moment to comment on that report in today's Sun newspaper about a gathering here at RTE last week at which I was photographed beside a colleague who was retiring. We are advised strongly under COVID-19 guidelines not to be in such close proximity to another person outside our immediate family bubble. And I want once again to unreservedly apologise for my lapse of judgment in posing for the photograph. The responsibility is mine alone. I'm sorry to everyone who's sacrificed so much in recent months, to those who've lost loved ones, who are living with the after effects of the infection, to those who've lost their jobs, livelihoods, their businesses, those who've been isolated from family and friends. On this programme, we've vigorously debated COVID measures, but what is not disputed is that each of us should make every effort to observe the restrictions in place at any given time. I'd be very concerned if any action of mine undermined that vital, life-saving public health advice. We will, of course, be talking about COVID a little later in the programme, but first, we're going to those latest figures showing that greenhouse gas emissions here are down, but that the government's target of a 7% year-on-year reduction looks like an uphill climb. A report today from the Environmental Protection Agency shows a 4.5% reduction in greenhouse gas emissions in 2019, in spite of a growing economy. We can talk now to the Minister for the Environment, Climate, Communications and Transport and leader of the Green Party, Eamon Ryan. Good afternoon, Eamon Ryan. Thank you for taking our call.
Good afternoon, Brian.
The EPA says, despite this improvement last year, that we're still not on the pathway required to meet future targets. Why is it that progress has been made on reductions in emissions, but not enough?
Because we're only starting to take the steps in the right direction, but this is a step in the right direction. There are three main areas which accounts for the 4.5% fall. Firstly, in power generation, we've switched from coal and peat burning them to generate power to wind power largely, and that actually has accounted for about just over a million tonnes of a reduction. Similarly, in the agriculture area, there was a significant switch away from the use of fertiliser last year, which helped probably combined with the warm winter in a simmer just under a 1 million tonne cut. And then thirdly, in our own homes, both because it was a warm winter, but also because we're starting to invest in energy efficiency, we saw something like a 500,000 tonnes cut. So that accounts for the bulk of it. Now, other areas didn't help in transport or in our commercial services, our industry, our waste and so on. But I think the positive signal in this is that we can actually make cuts that actually can be good for the country. Those three measures I mentioned are actually saving us money. They're saving us in what we have to pay for fertilizer, saving us in paying for imported fossil fuels, and saving on our home heating bills. It's a signal that we can ramp this up and make it work for us.
But the point also is made, Minister, that the progress so far is based on picking the low-hanging fruit, the difficult areas. You've mentioned them, agriculture, transport, they really still haven't been tackled in any significant way. If you take agriculture, is it possible, for example, to continue expanding the national herd as we're doing at the moment and at the same time reduce emissions?
No, but I think what we have to focus on is an outcome which is actually going to be good for Irish farmers as well as for the environment, and I think that is possible. The new Common Agricultural Policy payments is going to pay farmers for looking after our land in a new way, for storing carbon, for restoring biodiversity, for managing water quality, as well as for high-quality origin green food. That, in the long run, is a better strategy for Irish farming as well as for the environment. It will not see a big increase in the herd. It will probably see a decrease in herd numbers. But what I expect we can do is get a better price for the farmers for that produce so that they actually get a better income in the end, which is what farmers are really concerned about.
The programme for government explicitly states, and I quote, that the special economic and social role of agriculture will be fully recognised in plans to achieve these targets. Is that not tying your hands?
No, it's actually the exact opposite. It's saying we want a new generation of young farmers to come into farming. For the next 30, 40 years, they have to look forward to it being actually a critical work within our country to help in those environmental issues that I mentioned, but also that they know that their family farm, our family farms are going to be viable, are going to have a sustainable future. There'll be a range of different incomes which will help make that happen. It may see farmers starting to get involved in maybe pockets of forestry with within the land. So you can actually store carbon in that, restore nature, but also actually make it work within the farm so that actually you keep farming, but you actually manage the land in a really sophisticated, clever way. And we pay farmers well for that. It's a critical part of this change.
A question about transport. How are you going to get people out of their cars in the numbers, out of private transport, in the numbers necessary to really bring down the emissions created by transport?
Firstly, by investing in public transport and in active sustainable transport modes. And critically, starting to put our new housing beside those new, often rail-based and bus connects-based and cycle greenway-based transport connections. And in that way, reduce the amount of distance people have to travel. It's critical we implement the national planning framework. We stop this ever-lengthening commutes that people have had and start bringing life back in closer to the centre of our villages, towns and cities. I think COVID actually maybe give us a chance to do that in a new way. I think we will not go back to the old ways where everyone commutes every day, 4 days a week, 9 to 5 all the time. It actually maybe we'll probably go to some sort of hybrid system where people spend some time working from home, some time in the office or in the factory
but that
or the
course,
workplace.
That, of course, needs good broadband, and that's particularly an issue at the moment for many people. A lot of complaints about Air and Vodafone, how they're dealing with customers' problems. You met both those companies with Leo Varadkar, I think. What do they have to say to you? Any reassurance that they'd up their game?
Yes, and an apology, and I think they give that to the Irish public because they recognise themselves for a variety of different reasons, connected to COVID and other reasons, as they looked to switch their systems towards better systems. They actually found it very difficult during the COVID period to manage, but they are rectifying that, is what they said, and committed to going further to making sure we do have good quality connections. I think critically within that, the government's role, and both companies acknowledge this, is the rollout of the National Broadband Plan, so that those areas of the country that can't currently get broadband will have it. And people are more aware of that today than ever before. So both companies committed to help us in rolling out that project and to use it and to help sell it on to the Irish public. I think this has been a very difficult period, particularly for those at home who couldn't get access to broadband. We met the companies just to express that frustration. They understood it, and our job now is to make sure that actually it doesn't keep on in that way.
If I might, a final question, Minister. Helen McEntee, the Minister of Justice, is to answer questions in the Dáil, I think next week, on the appointment of Seamus Wolfe to the Supreme Court. On a related matter, the government promised the Judicial Appointments Commission Bill within the first 6 months in office. That'll be by the end of this year, early next year. Reports today in the Irish Independent say that deadline will be missed, will it?
I don't have the exact timeline for the bill being launched, but it is critical that we do implement it. We do need to improve and change our judicial appointments process. We all know that in all parties. We need to make sure that we respect our courts. And I've always said in previous debates on this that the Chief Justice has a critical role, as does the political system. And I think we can get that balance right.
But you can't say whether this deadline,
the way we appoint judges.
You can't say whether this deadline, 6 month deadline, will be met.
I hope it can be, but it's a matter of getting it right as well, and that's what we'll focus on in the next number of weeks, and we will deliver to give it our full urgency.
Eamon Ryan, leader of the Green Party, thank you for talking to us on the News at 1.